I've had a pretty good life. And I've had, you know, enough people pass away around me that you kind of accept death as part of life. And it's hard. It's hard to discuss it with people because people, if you mention cancer or anything like that, people don't know what to say to you. Because what it does, it brings into focus immediately your own mortality. I mean, you think about that first, right? Then, I mean, and that's not in a bad way. I think that's human nature because you go like, damn. And you imagine yourself in that position.
Welcome to Chino y Chicano.
I'm Matt Chan, the Chino.
I'm Enrique Cerna, the Chicano. Well, Matt, it's been almost a year since we learned that you had kidney cancer. So why don't we step back? We haven't talked about this for a while. We haven't talked about how your journey has been going. So give me an update from almost a year ago to where you are now.
Well, you know, when I was first diagnosed, they said, well, you know, we're going to perform surgery and we'll just get rid of the tumor. And then, you know, if we need to give you any kind of, you know, immunotherapy or chemo, we can decide then. Well, I didn't make it very far. I made it to about middle of July and the cancer got aggressive. The tumors grew. I ended up with cancer spots in my lungs and I felt horrible. You know, I didn't even think I would make it to Christmas, let alone fall. I mean, it's one of those things like, will I get to see the Seahawks this year? I mean, a lot of stuff happened. You know, I went to Swedish Cancer Institute. They decided to put me on immunotherapy with a targeted chemo, and that seemed to do the trick. The tumor started shrinking and it continues to shrink as I have my infusions every 4 weeks. I've been pretty stable. The news has always been good. I have side effects, but they're manageable. I think beginning of the year, I decided to switch to the Fred Hutch Cancer Center. So I did that. And I've been under their care now since January. And I had my latest scan. Well, I should back up. I finally contracted COVID about a month and a half ago. And that was brutal. Because of my kidney cancer, I can only get half a dose of the Paxlovid, which kind of guaranteed that I would have a rebound case. And the rebound case is what got me. I mean, I tested negative and felt fine 4 days after I tested positive. But then about 3 or 4 days after that, the rebound hit, which lasted about 3 weeks. And the main thing was fatigue. I mean, I have never experienced fatigue like that. Even during that time, my cancer treatment continued and it was stable and it's moving forward. And just this week, I had a scan and a review and they said that it continues to shrink. All of the kind of problem spots they saw in my lung have disappeared or, as they say, resolved. And the cancer tumor continues to shrink. And it may shrink some more, but it may not shrink anymore because at this point, it could be just starting to be scar tissue.
So how big was the tumor? It was on your right kidney when they first discovered it.
I think it was approaching, because as it grew for a while, right, I think it was approaching 6 centimeters.
So what would that be? I mean, I'm not great when it comes to metrics.
You know, probably about 3-4 inches. And now it's below 2 centimeters. So it's been almost a 60 to 70% reduction in size.
Wow.
Were you feeling bad before you got the diagnosis?
No. Like I said, you know, I had some blood in my urine and I thought, well, maybe you passed a kidney stone. And that's when my doctor said, well, let's just be on the safe side and do a CAT scan. So they did a CAT scan, and what it showed was a mass on my kidney.
Now, when you found out about the cancer, you talked to me about it. You also told our good buddies, Eugene Tagawa and James Burns, that you were dealing with cancer. We all said, we're here to support you in any way we can. How did it hit you? Also, what was the reaction from your family and other friends? I imagine they were as supportive as we were. And did that help you?
Yeah, it was very helpful because I'd been through this before with prostate cancer about 13, 14 years ago. So I kind of knew the drill. You know, I'm always hopeful because modern medicine, you know, actually is pretty advanced on this stuff. But you can't help but just think about your mortality. You know, so I've come to grips with that. I've had a friend who passed away with pancreatic cancer who was diagnosed after I was, and he passed away at the first of the year. And we talked a lot about life and what it means. And so I'm okay. I mean, I just look at every day that I have as just another good day to have and try to maintain a positive attitude, which I think I have. I haven't let it bother me. Occasionally, I'll think about it, but not in terms of why'd this happen to me. I mean, I don't have a lot of self-pity for that kind of thing because I've had a pretty good life. And I've had, you know, enough people pass away around me that you kind of accept death as part of life. And it's hard. It's hard to discuss it with people because people, if you mention cancer or anything like that, people don't know what to say to you, because what it does, it brings into focus immediately your own mortality. I mean, you think about that first, right? Then, I mean, and that's not in a bad way. I think that's human nature, because you go like, damn, and you imagine yourself in that position.
Well, they don't say damn. I imagine what they say is, oh shit, I'm sorry. And it's the C word, the one thing that none of us want to hear.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what I've learned is support is important. I mean, sharing it is important for me. Some people don't want to let people know. I understand that. I mean, everybody reacts differently. I find sometimes that when I talk about it and I hear the words out loud, it makes a difference. Because if you live inside your head, it's crazy. You can go crazy. But if you say it out loud to people, it's real. And like I say, when I do post and people, you know, like or comment, it does make me feel great, because it's just this connection with people.
After you were diagnosed, we had a lot of conversations about your dealing with cancer. And eventually I asked you, do you want to talk about it on the podcast? And you said yes. Explain why.
So many people are touched by cancer and terminal disease, because we're at the age, but you know, it's tragic when younger people have issues, medical issues. But you know, at our age, it becomes more of a fact of life as opposed to something in the distant future. And I think by talking about it, I think it helps people to hear. And that's not my, I mean, it's not like this great altruistic thing talking about it. But like I said, if what I say can help people understand what they're going through, I think that's a good byproduct of me kind of coming to grips with it myself. Like I said, when you say it out loud, it makes it real and it makes it different, because, you know, you have to convince yourself that life is not never ending, right, in this world, and that at some point you have to come to grips with it. Everyone is going to die. You know, having cancer just kind of gives you a little bit clearer roadmap of how it's going to happen.
Yeah. The focus of this podcast is really to talk about our communities, focus on communities of color. And I think that's one of the things that's been important for us in talking about your cancer. It's to reach out to our communities, to get them to talk about things like this, because we come from cultures that tend not to talk about these things. And the reaction tends to be, ay, Dios mío. I thought that was an important thing to do.
I think it is. I mean, and it's tough, right? Because, you know, you and I have earned our privilege, so to speak.
Yeah.
And we have medical care. And, you know, I just think a lot of times how unfortunate is people that don't have proper medical care, and that the disease will take them without being able to fight back, or not having the means to fight back. And all they have is just their personal fortitude and beliefs to carry them through. And that's not enough sometimes. But hopefully, you know, just sharing what I'm going through can help some people.
You've really been proactive, actually. And I think that was the one thing when you first told us that you had the tumor and that it was cancerous. You didn't really waste any time to jump on it and start informing yourself about it all, but also to reach out to your doctors. You were really proactive in that sense. And I think that was one thing that was really good for you, because you're a storyteller. You want information. You want to know what to do.
You know, I'm not one that ever, you know, a lot of men I know just kind of shy away from doctors. I never did. I mean, if you need medical care, go get it, because you're lucky to have it, right? You know, I did do some research on it, not a whole lot, because I didn't want to go down the Google medical rabbit hole. Because I think that leads to nothing good, because you've heard me say this before, that it is what it is, and it is. All you can do is prepare your body for what's coming up. And so I stayed healthy as I could. I stayed active. I did everything they told me to do. And I did talk to some of my doctors, and they said, you know, it's good that you stay active and that you work out or you work through your fatigue, because he says a lot of people succumb to it. They just roll up in a ball. You know me well enough. I mean, that's not how I'm going to go out. I'm going to, and it's not even going out fighting. It's going out being active and being productive and continue to learn stuff. I mean, that's why I do the podcast with you, because we learn so much stuff. I mean, that's one of the deals. I'm a learner, right? I'm constantly upgrading my skills as far as editing, video, storytelling. I mean, I examine everything, because that's what it is. I mean, life is here. You're here to learn stuff.
Even though we're retired, I guess semi-retired, neither one of us wanted to really just stop and do nothing. And I think that's an important thing. I think we both learned a lot in doing this podcast. I know I've learned a lot about you as you go through your battle with cancer and the strength you have. Something I always knew you had a lot of strength. I mean, you're kind of an asshole, so I knew you would take this on and somehow you were going to just fight this thing. I really do admire, though, the fact that You've just taken this on and you have not let yourself get down about it for the most part. You know, there have been times when we've talked and I know that you've felt funky about it all, and but you have come out of it.
Yeah.
I just think that if I have to ever go through a situation like this, that I'll be able to handle it in your way and the way you've taken this on. I guess we just have to see how that goes. Right now, things are really not looking too badly for you, but you have been told there's really no cure for this.
Yeah, there is no cure. I mean, it's basically, you know, they talk in terms of longevity, right? What's your window? 5 years, 7 years? The good thing is they were cautious of like, well, there's a very slim chance that the cancer will be a strong remission, that we can operate on the tumor and remove it, because that's the only way that you can start balancing the odds in your favor. So, you know, I'm talking with the doctor next week about that, because they're saying, well, because you've taken so good care of yourself that you are a candidate for that. And so I'll talk about it. But again, I'm not getting my hopes up, right? Because you have to be realistic about it. Because I can say, oh, you know, it's going to save me. But what I've learned in cancer, and you know, is that you never know. You never know. And you have no control over it. So to get your hopes up, to say, hey, there's a cure, or let's, I can get more time on this earth. That's something, of course, you want, but I can't fixate on that. Because then again, you pull yourself out of the present. And this is where life is. It's happening right now. And that's where you got to be.
Through all of this, it seems like it's been a real fluid situation.
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning, when there was talk of you going in and having surgery to remove the tumor, then, wait a minute, maybe we don't need to do that. And then you went into treatment with the immunotherapy, which you seem to really have done well with, and it seems to be helping you a lot. There's not a road that's really been laid out for you through this. It's like twists and turns, and you got to be able to adapt to all of that, which seems to me like that could be very challenging.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things is, you know, I love cooking and I love food. And
yeah.
And that's the hardest, because that's been taken away from me, because, you know, my sense of taste is gone. I mean, I have to get my grandkids or my wife and say, hey, does this taste right? He goes, oh, yeah, it tastes fine. You know, I go like, well, I'm glad you think so, because I can't taste it. But, you know, that's really controlled my weight. So I'm actually the fittest I've been probably in my whole life right now. Cause you know, I eat till I feel full and that's it. Cause you know, when the food is good, it's like, yeah, a couple more bites, you know, and that's where it gets out of control. Right.
Yes, I know.
So that's been good. But, you know, when we talk about retirement, you know, you think like, well, I've earned the right to do nothing. No, you've earned the right to pursue what you want to do. And I think that there's a key difference there. You know, this time that I've had since I sold my company, retired, has been an opportunity for me to explore stuff, learn stuff, and do what I want to do. And, you know, I tell you, I think, at least for me, and I think in a lot of ways for you too, that we hit the sweet spot.
We did. We're fortunate. And like you said, we're a bit privileged because we have health care. We have been able to plan for retirement. And we're able to do this podcast and do things in the community, things that we want to do and help folks out. But going forward now, what's the outlook? How do you see it?
So the outlook is, I feel good. I mean, the side effects are negligible. I mean, the weird thing, during COVID, all my side effects from the drugs went away. And now they've come back. And, you know, because I was hoping like, well, maybe that's a permanent change. But and the doctors can't explain it. They said COVID does such weird things to your immune system that, you know, we don't know. But I know it's come back and I'm just managing it again. And if that stays the same, I'm okay. You know, one of the things that I really, you know, along with the food was, you know, I like being outdoors. I like getting sun. I don't like being this kind of vampire pale, you know. So I talked to my doctor. I said, like, so is this like, you know, Nosferatu? If I go out in the sun, I start burning. And they go, no, because the drugs you're taking don't, you know, exacerbate that situation. What we're concerned about is you getting sunburned. And because it takes a little bit longer for you to heal because of the drugs. And I said, I don't think I've been sunburned since I was in grade school. You know, I mean, like you, right? I mean, I'm naturally darker.
Yeah, we're lucky.
So I thought like, you know, so it's the little things like I go sit in the sun, you know, and really, you know, get brown again, which is, you know, what I like to be. I like to be brown. I don't like to be kind of like, you know, that fish belly white kind of look, you know.
Yeah, you're a little pale right now.
I am pale. I mean, my grandkids go like, you're so pale. I go like, yeah, thank you for the compliment, you know.
Yeah. Well, if the sun ever comes out here for a lengthy period of time, you can get out there and enjoy it a bit. Okay, so the journey continues, and let's just keep our fingers crossed that things will continue to shrink and disappear. If surgery is in your future, so be it, so that you get that taken care of. But it's good to know that right now things are looking okay and stable. Mm-hmm. And go on. All right.
Okay, thanks, Enrique, and you know, and thank you for everybody who supports me, because even though I don't express all the time, it matters. It does matter that people think about you.
Yeah, it really does. All right, Matt, take care.
Okay, bye.
We want to hear from you. Reach out to us on Twitter at Enrique Serna and at LoFonLand for me, Matt Chan. You can also email us at chinoichicano@gmail.com and check out our Chino y Chicano page on Facebook.
Our theme music was composed and performed by Antonio Gomez. You can find the Chino y Chicano podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, and other favorite podcast providers. Please take a listen, download, and subscribe. We are posting video versions of our podcast to YouTube. Go to search and type in Chino y Chicano to find our conversations. Take care of yourself.
I'm Matt Chan, the Chino.
I'm Enrique Serna, the Chicano. We'll talk more later.